Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today we observe, celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. Sometimes called the Second Christmas, sometimes called the Gentile Christmas, that the story of the wise men or the Magi then will reveal to us that this Christ, this child born of the Virgin Mary, is the God and the Savior, not of just believing Jews, but also for believing Gentiles as well. That indeed he is for all people. And so the season of Epiphany will often reveal the glory of the Lord. Our struggle will be with, when we think of the glory of the Lord, we think of the angel hosts in the sky, the transfiguration of our Lord before his three disciples, and so forth. But today we will find three different ways in which God reveals his glory. Things with a great destiny don't always show it right away. Think of today's great businesses, many of which started in dorm rooms or garages. Think instead also of things like the mountain streams that you walk and hike and step right over in the hills, that those very things become these mighty great rivers which can move great ships along the way. Think of when you see any child headed into school. Little do we know what they will be doing, how they will be serving their neighbor in 20 or 30 years. So it was with the child of Bethlehem. Most never paid him any mind. But it was only those who looked at the situation with faith who saw that there was great glory being revealed. The epiphany, the manifestation that God had come to the earth to redeem it. And so our gospel lesson today with the wise men or the Magi teaches us how Christ, this newborn king, reveals his glory even then and, yes, even now, that it might be received, revealed by faith. First, Christ leads others to himself who don't even know him. These wise men, these Magi, were from the East. They were not Jews. They would have been pagan spiritual mystics who studied all sorts of spiritual and religious things, including the heavens, the planets, the stars, and all of their movements. But here we find that God uses the intelligence and even the foolishness of men. He used astrologers. For those today who would hear the word astrology and smirk and scoff at the ancient astrological quote-unquote wisdom because we know better, well, I will say that at least the ancient wisdom held that there was a God. And while quote-unquote modern scientists forget that there is indeed a God, a very personal God, they hold to theories that are going to be held as just as fantastic as the Magi's astrology, only more blasphemous. That someday, as the science of today will often do to the science of yesterday, the godless theorizing and false assumptions of scientists will seem no more wise than the vague pronouncements of astrologers. But you see, God uses all of this. The wisdom, the intelligence, the foolishness of men, he uses it to draw others to himself. He used the star studying of the Magi to draw them to himself. He used that ancient time of captivity of Israel to place the promises of Holy Scripture into the hands of such mystics hundreds of years later. He used their desire to know more, to find out what this sign in the heavens meant to bring them to worship Jesus, the Christ child. He still draws both the unlearned and the learned. He still uses and brings both the strong and the weak He uses strength and weakness to draw in the mighty, the rich, the poor. He works right here in our town and all across the world. That Christ finds his way into every country and draws men to believe him. Men who trust in themselves are led into hard things to force them to look for help outside of themselves. God takes proud people low in order that they might come to know Christ. He directs the course of history, not only the history of great kingdoms, but even the history of individual lives and households to lead them to Christ. He uses world events, times of plenty and times of lack, times of health, times of sickness. He uses the desires of men. The desires of men to gain more knowledge. The desires of men to be wise. He will even, at times, use their sins. For there are many who follow the lure of their sins into prison cells or into the despair, only to find God there revealing himself as Savior for sinners. Even those who despise unseen things in their study of the material or natural world have been led by God to the point of knowing that this world is far more than what is just seen. And all of this is God at work, using all things to accomplish his will, that men would see the glory of God in Christ Jesus the Savior, which is at its greatest when men hear the gospel, the word of God, which God then uses to create and sustain faith in Jesus. That God reveals his glory when people of all kinds and all types are drawn to him. But then also from our text today, God also reveals his glory in another way. He reveals it in the defeat of his enemies. You see, you know the story from Matthew chapter 2, how Herod planned much wickedness upon this newborn king, and how this is nothing new for this bloodthirsty ruler. And yet his plans are foiled. The magi, the wise men, are given the dream to go home by another way. And even more than that, why didn't Herod just plan right away to send soldiers along with the magi? But here we see that God again shows his glory in directing the minds, the thoughts even, of those who hate him. The arrogance of Herod blinded him to God's work. That God used his sinful thoughts against him to blind him so that the magi could have their encounter and their encouragement from Christ, and that the Holy Family would escape into Egypt. That God causes the wicked to be defeated, and in that, God's glory is revealed. This is important for us to realize today. How many people in this world's history have cried out for the death of God? How many have called for his people, his church, to be destroyed? Time after time, persecution has ended up strengthening the church. Time after time, the plans of the wicked are foiled and frustrated, and the righteous continue on. How many times in this world's history has some great mind or some collection of quote-unquote great minds who scoff at and try to disprove the Bible delve into it only to find something somewhere which convinces them of something else, that God is true and the Bible indeed is God's word? How many times has some scoffer archaeologist sought out to disprove Holy Scripture and yet in the dirt and the dust dig something up which only confirms it? You see, God himself has artifacts buried in the ground from long ago that are meant to undo those skeptics that are even yet to come. God knows all of the blasphemous efforts that are yet to come, and he's already planned for their downfall. That science, rightly practiced, will continue to undo the strange religion that is often called science. That all of the plots of those who oppose God will come to nothing, as Psalm 2 declares. That as those who are against the Lord and his anointed plot and plan, the rulers of this earth, well, God sits in heaven and he laughs. He holds them in derision. That there were, in fact, many men of great reason in the 19th and 20th centuries who said things like that in the 100 years, the Bible will no longer be around. It will be only a relic in museums of superstitions long past. Well, those kind of men are dead. And the Bible continues to be sold and given away in numbers that no other book can compare to. When we hear some so-called wise man of our day and time explain godless theories as if they are facts, well, we need not get too worked up about it. That God indeed will himself master each and every situation as he did with bloodthirsty Herod. Because his glory will be revealed in the defeat of his enemies. A more recent example from many of your lives. Remember Soviet communism? It tried to wipe out Christ. It died. And Christ still lives. And his church is growing by leaps and bounds in the lands which used to kill the pastors, destroy the churches, ruin marriages and the family, and every other hallmark of communism. That God made that happen as he directs history. That his enemies today have no greater chance of success than Herod did back then. Finally, God reveals his glory. And we know this well. He reveals his glory by strengthening the faith of his followers. The Magi, or the wise men, would have found all kinds of discouragement along the way to the child, Jesus. Whether the distance, the harshness of the travel, or the cold, faithless reception of Herod's court. Can you imagine being so excited to announce and celebrate this birth of the newborn king, and you show up and the court doesn't even know about it and handles it with so matter-of-factly? You see, all of them, those wise men, could have made them, all of this happening could have made them question what they were doing. What is this? Should we really go on? But the star reappeared and led them on. They found the newborn king. There, they were welcomed by him and his parents. They were allowed to worship him as true God and to give him gifts. They would have no doubt in their time there with the Holy Family exchanged the stories of this faithful God with Mary and Joseph. They would have told them of the star and the Old Testament passages which speak of it. They would have heard then the stories of the angels and the shepherds and all the glory. They would have heard the words of Zechariah and Elizabeth spoken to them, the words of the angel Gabriel to both Joseph and Mary. They would have been encouraged by each other as each spoke of the faithfulness of God toward them to bring that moment to pass. And they would have found strength in that child, the Christ, who is the fulfillment of all these promises of God. Christians today can become discouraged and depressed as well. The enemies of Christ in the short term look like they are getting ahead. We look to be dwindling. Our lives in our homes, at work, in our schools, and in this nation have all sorts and no shortage of challenges and struggles. Our own sins still weigh us down. Death still claims us. There is no shortage of opportunity for complaint and temptation to despair. But when this happens, we must have courage. We must trust and press on as the wise men, the Magi, did. and trust that God, indeed, as He did for them, will to us give us refreshment and encouragement along the way. That God is the one who revives us and sustains us along the way. That we have Christ because He comes to us in His Word and His sacrament. We have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We know that death is not an end, but a gateway to life eternal. And we have each other as the body of Christ in this place to faithfully live out this earthly life with each other. We have in our lives examples of God's faithfulness to each and every one of us. We have amongst us the variety of gifts that God has given for the good of the whole. We have His glory revealed in knowing Christ and seeing, yes, throughout world history, the enemies of God be defeated. We have God's promises to hear our prayers. And yes, there are times in every person's life when He answers them in such a way that leaves us no doubt that He heard them. That God gives strength. He gives strength that we can't come up with ourselves, so that we can endure things which we never thought we could. And we will often realize that after the fact. He brings relief after grief. That God delivers us and He grants us joy. He shapes us by cross and by trial, but only as long as is necessary for our soul's benefit. It is when we realize all of this that we have an experience then like the Magi, the wise men, in seeing the star and rejoicing with an exceedingly great joy. You see, God directs men towards Himself and His Word. He uses this life and the situations in it to always reveal His glory and draw men unto Himself. The God then defeats every last one of His enemies, and by being victorious every time, He reveals His glory. That our God strengthens our faith along the way. And in every trial and in every time of struggle, He provides then His help, often then providing other Christians to help us along the way as well. That today we hear of this in the Magi, the wise men. We hear of this in Herod, in the star, in the words of the Magi, the words even from the scribes. And then, of course, the example of the Holy Child receiving both the worship and the gifts as the true God and true man that He is. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the glory of God incarnate. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.